the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Okay, we're going to go to the week trending a little bit earlier than usual. Emily Keegan from our newsroom. Dave Hanratty, podcast producer and host of the No Encore podcast, is with us. And we're going to start, we will be talking later to Ian Guider in the business news about the latest developments and because of the war in Iran and what it's doing to energy prices and the very serious issues there. But I want to talk about what's happening in the Gulf states first. And Emily, can you explain to me, please, before we hear a little bit of it, not the full 4 minutes, about the video that has been sent out to people living in Dubai?
Yes.
Irish people living in Dubai.
Irish people. I think that's very important to mention. So this is a video. It's titled From Ireland With Love, and it was put together by the Irish Business Network, which a quick Google shows seems to be a network based in Dubai trying to connect Ireland and Dubai, whatever that really means. It's a 4 minute video sending messages to those who are living and working in Dubai right now when all of these scary things are happening all around them. It features some pretty big Irish names. You've got Marty Morrissey, Ryan Tuberty, Francis Brennan, Keelan Doris, Keith Barry. Like, there's a good few names, and they're all men, notably, but anyway.
Really? Not a single woman in there?
Not, well, no, I'm not going to lie to you,
Matt. Women don't care about what's happening to the people in Dubai?
Possibly, I don't know. Look, but I actually, for all I know, there could be a woman in there, because I'm not going to lie to you, didn't make it the whole way through the video. I thought it was absolute cringe fest, and I couldn't bear the sight of any of them anymore. I had to turn it off after about a minute in.
So. You're rough. You're tough. Well, actually, let's see what our listeners think. I mean, obviously, we don't have the videos here, so you don't have the opportunity to see these individuals, but let's hear them.
Hi, everybody. It's Marty here, Marty Morrissey. Thinking of you in your circumstance at the moment in Dubai and Abu Dhabi and around the UAE, all of us in Ireland are thinking of you. We want to make sure that you know that. And we're sending all our love to you at this moment in time, because we're all brothers and sisters in this, and we know that it's difficult. We can't actually believe it ourselves. So the main thing is to just stay safe.
Hello from Kenmare to those of you who are in the Middle East this time. I know it's difficult, and the worry is with us as well as with you. We will be praying for you, and hopefully it will all come to an end soon enough. Stay safe.
Hello to all my Irish friends in Dubai. I hope you're doing well. This is not an easy time, so I know from my brief experience among you there that you've got a great community, and you'll be minding each other and looking out for each other and keeping an eye on each other, which is so important. It's what we do when we're abroad as fellow Irish people. So you keep an eye on yourselves, mind yourselves, and I look forward to seeing you all during brighter days. And I hope that things are going as well as possible. Sending you lots of love. All your family and friends are thinking about you in Ireland, and with any luck, the situation will improve and you'll all be okay.
And do we not have the other 3 minutes of that to play, no?
Oh, God.
I didn't. What's wrong with you, Dave Hanratty? Well, you're not going to be cynical about this, are
no,
you?
No, I'm going to be honest about this. And as a podcast producer at the Irish Independent, I found myself baffled and alarmed at the audio quality in some of those, particularly Tuberty, the latency in that clip. And what people are not seeing with the visual is a complete lack of cinematic flair, mm-hmm. is what I would say across the board. You might have heard it.
Is that important, Dave? Is it the thought that counts?
No.
The fact that they're concerned about their fellow Irish citizens out in this part of the world where they could be in danger.
This is massive pandemic vibes. Do you know what actually this reminded me of the most? That Imagine,
I know exactly what you're
Imagine
say.
Video with all the celebs doing Imagine.
This is the Irish version.
Yeah, this is the Irish version.
Exact same
and
thing.
They didn't even put any music under this. Like, you heard a dog groaning in the Marty Morris one because there is a dog in shot. And I appreciate it. Like, we're not going to like spend all day on this. We're not going to like go to a, like a film studio. But for the love of God, like, Ryan Tuberty appears to be walking through a corridor of some description. O'Magee is on the beach. It looked very nice where he was, in fairness to him. But no, this is
maybe he's out there as well.
Maybe he is. But this is absolutely baffling, and it just kind of speaks to the bigger issue of this, where it's. And we're going to talk about the influencers. And look, with the express caveat that, look, if you're in a situation where you are in genuine trouble and genuine peril and missiles are landing on your doorstep, of course, get home safe. Nobody is against that. But this thing and the sidebar angle of the influencers and this video and the surreal nature of all of this, I find it genuinely surreal.
Okay, lots of messages. Is this a gift grub sketch? No, it's not.
No, it's really.
Another one goes, oh, Jesus, Matt, do my taxes pay for that? No. This is a private organisation, the Irish Business Network. This has nothing to do with the state.
And again.
And I suspect every one of those people did this with the best of intentions. They were probably asked to do so.
They did it with their phones. They did it themselves. This is zero production values. Do not, money wasn't spent. Don't worry. I mean, I don't know about hiring the people to do it, but like...
Okay, but isn't there a serious issue here as well, though, about people being safe in this area? Because, Emily, we know that a lot of the people who have been brought home now are the people who were stuck in transit. Now, some people, a lot of people were taken from the airports, I think, weren't they, to hotel accommodation. Mm-hmm. They're still waiting for their regional airlines to have flights that can safely get them out. And you can understand they weren't meant to be in these places and they want to get home. I wonder what's going to happen. Are many of the people who are living in the United Arab Emirates and the other Gulf states going to want to come home? I think an estimated 22,000. We spoke to some on the programme earlier in the week. They were quite happy that they were safe. But if the Iranians keep firing missiles and keep firing drones, and if these states run out of the so-called interceptors, could we suddenly see an awful lot of Irish people wanting to come home and have been very difficult for them to do so?
Yeah, like I think it's fairly easy to imagine. I think like there's videos of influencers online saying things like, this stuff isn't supposed to happen here. So I think it's been a real wake-up call for people. Like, I don't know, were you not aware of the part of the world you were living in? Like, that you're surrounded by these countries that are known to do these kind of things. There's historic evidence that this stuff does happen on Dubai's doorstep. I find it kind of hard to believe that they were completely unaware of where they were. But I think you're right in kind of presuming that we will start to see an influx if things do escalate. And I'm not trying to undermine the situation they're in. If I saw missiles flying over my head, I also would be absolutely terrified. But the videos that these influencers and statements that they're coming out with since makes it kind of difficult to feel sympathetic for them.
In fairness, they're not mainly Irish influencers, are they?
No.
It seems to be an awful lot of British people.
But there are Irish too.
There are, but...
I've seen some Irish ones.
Yeah.
Have you? That take the cake. I mean, I saw...
In what way?
Well, there was one person who was talking about how she chased her dreams and effectively encouraged everyone to do the same, because this is a wake-up call for me and I realise, you know, life is short, guys, la, 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 la. But then at one stage she just goes, death is inevitable. And I was like, what am I watching? What kind of nihilist channel am I tuned into? There was another guy who looks like he just, you know, eats creatine for a living. He basically started talking about how the defense system here is the best in the world. It's more dangerous in London after 6 p.m.
And this stuff has been going on. You know, we came to Dubai because it was safe, because England and London in particular is not safe. I mean, parroting the line, I think, coming out of the White House during the week about Sharia law apparently been in place, the big lie about England and London in particular. The irony is, a lot of these expats, emigrants, giving out about the fact that they no longer feel as safe as they feel they're due.
I mean, look, people have a right to go to whatever part of the world that they feel they will do better in, and I understand that, but at the same time, there's a lot of propaganda coming out like in these influencers, and not just influencers, even again, like just seeing kind of people coming home the other day in Dublin Airport, and they act as if they had been to war themselves. And I was kind of like, with all due respect, I'm glad you're home, I'm glad you're safe, but there's a difference between being an affluent white person over in Dubai who's under no threat of any kind at all than being someone who is in a genuine war zone.
And I think that's such an important thing to highlight, because as you said there, Matt, people were saying they moved over there because they wanted to feel safer. Because you are a privileged white person, you feel safer over there. The reality of Dubai is it's not safe for people who are gay. It's not safe for many women, especially, I mean, we saw an Irish woman herself who tried to take her own life and was arrested for it. Like, what defines safe? Because there's so much, there are reports of slavery in the nation. Like, it's... I just think it's possibly the most privileged argument of all time.
What about the cost of returning home? If it's one thing assisting people who are stuck there and who didn't want to be there, should the government, if things get worse, be paying for people to return from those states who have been living there?
Yeah, this is the most loaded question he's ever asked,
yeah,
folks. I mean, what you're getting at here, Matt, is that these people go over there to save money and to make a lot of it and perhaps not pay tax. And therefore, if that's the case, surely you can book your own flight home. I mean, I'll let those people, if they're in those individual situations, get on to their local, you know, TD or whatever. But as we were kind of saying earlier on, if a war escalates, yes, you will see more government intervention potentially. Now, again, I can't help but go back to big bad Donald Trump here, because just his reaction to the likes, you know, the thousands and thousands of Americans surrounding, was just kind of like, ah, look, it all happened very fast, so we didn't really think about that. And there's a level of shoulder shrugging there, where when it comes to his own military, he's like, yeah, people are going to die. And it's like, all right, cool. Like, what do you expect me to do about it? So the whole thing is this perfect storm of complete and utter imperfect human behaviour.
Well, listener says, with regard to the Iranian missiles, don't forget or ignore the fact that the US started this particular war. Okay. You should see the French influencers in Dubai, says one listener, who were living there to avoid paying French taxes and who are now demanding that the French government bring them home.
I mean, so, there you go. Can I give you a stat, by the way? Take. Apparently, one in 80 people in Dubai is an influencer.
I'd well believe it. And also, while we're discussing all of this, I think it's very important to mention that it actually is illegal to say anything negative about the government in Dubai when you are posting videos and content from there, that they would actually lose their permit to be influencers in the country. And I do think that as influencers, they should be maybe a bit more open about the fact that they're not allowed to speak as freely as they would
when they're working overtime to talk about how amazing it is.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, listener here says, your conversation is sick. The Emirati government has been phenomenal. My daughter and baby are on their way home to Dublin tonight. Slavery? Gay? Go there. It's phenomenal. Check out the slums in Inner Limerick and Dublin. My family work very hard in Dubai. You're idiots.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I mean, everyone is entitled to their opinion, and I'm also actually not begrudging anyone that moves to Dubai, because I completely see why you would want to do it, to work tax-free, to make your money. Like, it's hard to make ends meet here at times, so I'm not judging anyone necessarily for doing it. Personally, I just never would. That's my own opinion.
Let's move on to something else, which I was very taken by. I thought it was extraordinary. One third of Gen Z men believe wives should obey their husbands. Okay, who is saying this, Emily?
Yeah, so this was a survey that was carried out across a number of countries and a number of very well-developed countries, including Britain. I forgot to check whether or not Ireland was included in this survey, but the US, Brazil, Australia, India, just to name a few. And yeah, as you said there, a third or 33% of Gen Z males said husband should have the final word on important decisions. It's a 29-country survey. That is very concerning. What I find also concerning in this is that women apparently are starting to view themselves as kind of less worthy of their own independence too, because
that's a trend coming from the United States.
Tradwives
in particular,
movement.
Is tradwives.
Yeah. Tradwives.
Yes. Yeah. Just remind me, Gen Z, what age group is that?
Me. So
1997 to 2012. If you're born in that time period, you are officially Gen Z. So we're not there, unfortunately.
So what's going on?
What's going on, I think, and again, not to go all like the obvious answer here, but like it is the manosphere, it is the likes of Andrew Tate, it is the likes of kind of the content that is being fed to young, growing up adolescent males and being told that this is how you should treat women. And it's kind of like, even some of the podcasts that are out there, they claim to be about health and fitness, but actually, you know, you'll get this horrible undercurrent of misogyny in there. And of course, I'm not saying that about every health and fitness podcast, absolutely not, please don't think that I am. But there is this social media driven, complete and utter avalanche and overwhelmingness of this being fed to young, growing male minds. And the conversations I think that teachers and parents and siblings have to have with young men, it's only gotten harder and harder. Now, you would hope that these are just phases going through, but the fact is, this is an increasing trend. It's a survey, but it is reflective. And it, like I say, it's something I've encountered in my own life, that I have talked to young men who unfortunately do believe that women should actually be subservient to men.
Really?
Yes. I wasn't surprised in the least when I saw this story.
And what do you say to them then?
Can we please have a proper conversation? Think about your sister. Like, she's a woman. Do you want her to be, you know, like looking after, like, it's, and again, like, as you say, the fact that there are also women who kind of figure, like, yeah, I will do that. And like, look, there's always going to be people throughout every, you know, social strata and time period of history who will want to, like, I guess, kind of cede to a certain model of human behavior. But it's pretty concerning when it's this readily and casually put forward by teenage boys, which, again, I have encountered this, so... Yeah.
Do women then actually have to establish with men before they enter relationships with them as to what their attitude to this type of thing is?
Well, according to the findings of this survey, that would actually be a bit of a turn-off for the men. So it might rule women.
Maybe that's what the women need to do. Turn those men off and turn them away somewhere else.
For anyone listening, that would be my first piece of advice. Don't waste your time with them, because it's just absolutely disgusting. And
like, those are the men who will become the incels, though, then, are they?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a whole different conversation in itself, isn't it? But I think, look, we're right to say that there are plenty of people online to blame for this, Andrew Tate being the obvious one that pops to mind. It's just, it's so disheartening. And the impact that it is having on young women who are then also kind of questioning their self-worth. We see it across the board. I mean, we've seen countless surveys also about how the porn industry is impacting things, and women feel they need to be submissive in the bedroom because that's what men want. And it's the same thing. It's all feeding into this. And I'm less concerned about the men and their attitudes. While it is concerning, I'm more concerned about women starting to eat this up now. And also, I think the trad wife thing has led people to have this, there's a whole thing of wanting to be a kept woman and stuff. And I can absolutely see why you would want to be a kept woman. I'd love to be a kept woman. Like, but also I say this to my boyfriend all the time. He'd love to be a kept man. Nobody wants to work. Like, obviously you'd love to get just money handed to you every day, but it's just not reality. And I think people need to seriously just get off social media and start realizing what's more important.
Some of the comments that come in, one says men usually obey their wives. Yes. And another one says, I wear the trousers in our relationship, so she tells me.
Okay, well, I do think men should obey their wives. Just let me clarify.
What? Surely, hang on a second. There should be no obeying. I know, certainly when I got married, we took the obey words out of the vows.
No way.
Yeah,
good.
Deliberately took them
what
out.
Did you replace them with?
Just took them out, had the rest. Love, honour, respect, whatever.
Get along
like
equally.
Yeah, it didn't go that far, but we certainly took the obey word out.
Yeah.
I thought, and this is going back, what year was I married? 1995. I thought it was archaic even then.
Yeah. Is it still in them?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, it is very declarative, isn't it? It's very final. Like it feels like a lawfully bound. I guess it is. Like in some respects, like it's depending on your culture. Anyway, we're throwing into very dangerous territory.
We are okay. Well, why don't we go to cats? That's safe territory, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Jesse Buckley has found that to be very, very safe cat territory. Okay, let's hear from a November podcast with Paul Mescal while they were promoting Hamnet, and she talked about the reason behind her dislike of cats.
I got like, when I started dating him, he had two cats. This is bad, so I'm going to get cancelled. But one of the cats was like a pedigree model bitch. And she staged like a coup against me. I'd come home and there'd just be like poo on my pillow. Right. And I was like, it's me or the cats. It's me.
She didn't like this interloper. This is my house.
No.
Okay, and that was from the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast with Josh Horowitz. And has it come back to bite her? Could it prevent her, Dave, from winning an Oscar?
No, because the votes are in, and we're in, I think, on the day that this kind of was whipping up the storm, so it shouldn't affect her, nor should the very toxic reception to her new film, which is not getting well reviewed at all. But it's funny, because she says in that clip, I'm going to get cancelled. And she was right. It just took 4 or 5 months for it to happen. And also, I think, like, let's not bury the lead here. What happened in that? What did we learn from what we just heard there? He obeyed his wife. His wife-to-be. It was me or the cats, and he went, you're grand, they're gone. Now, let's all hope that the cats went to a loving home and that they're still with us and still in great form. But this has blown up big time. And look, in fairness, anytime someone's on the award circuit and they're doing well, there's always a bit of a smear campaign eventually. And Jessie Buckley has been maybe having too easy a ride of it. Everyone's been like, she's the best. We're really impressed by her quirkiness, and she's been winning every single award every single time. So now it's time to try and stop that Oscar from happening. And again, this is a great example of how in life you can't say anything. You can't say, I'm not mad about cats myself, because it turns into a polemic. It just turns into this wild situation. How often do people have conversations all the time about, are you a cat person or a dog person? Maybe you're both, maybe you're neither. But because we're not Jessie Buckley, and because we're not on a podcast, and because we're not about to win an Oscar, we can get on with our lives. She can't.
Let's hear then how she had to go on Jimmy Fallon's show last night to clarify her position on cats.
Clarify something for all cat lovers in the world, right? I am a lover of cats. I woke up this morning to the world thinking that I really don't love cats. And it's really weighed on me all day. I felt sick.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I want to just tell cat people that I actually auditioned to be a cat once.
You love cats that much that you wanted to be a cat?
Yeah.
Is this her greatest acting performance yet, her declaration of love for cats?
I went and watched the two videos this morning, and when I was watching her, like, is it an apology? I guess you could kind of call it that. It was like, I just feel like she's probably much more well PR trained at this point, because the way she went about it on Jimmy Fallon was just completely different, and kind of addressing it while also kind of making light of it, but accepting that it's a serious situation. Is it a serious situation? I mean, I don't think so, but it's like, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be her redemption, but I also think anyone who's really cancelling her over it needs to go outside and touch some grass. Like, I saw one video that was like, it had a clip of her, that bit about the cat staging a coup, and then it was like the person came onto the screen afterwards and said, imagine being competitive with a cat. I'm like, is that really, like, come on,
imagine
please.
Imagine she was saying this
outside.
About a child. It's like, well, like, she wasn't, but whatever, let's go there.
Just put the phone down for 10 minutes, go outside, get some fresh air. It's not that deep.
She did say that she auditioned for Cat once, which was her auditioning for Cats in 2019. She dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
That is one of the worst films of all time. So, you know, maybe there's some residual trauma from the audition for Cats.
Listener says, you've got a weird take on the word obey. Jesse Buckler's partner did not obey her. She gave him a choice and he made his own decision. Good couples don't obey each other. They negotiate.
That's not a choice. Me or the cats?
An ultimatum.
Come on, read between the lines here. There's only one answer he could have there, or else he's off to find himself a new relationship and not find himself, you know, presumably polishing the Oscar for the rest of his life.
Okay. Tell us what United Airlines, I think it is, have decided to introduce a headphone rule on flights. You can be banned for not wearing them, which I think is great, Emily, and I think it should be introduced on trains and buses here in Ireland as well.
And you're definitely not the only one. So yeah, United Airlines it says it's taking steps to limit noise in its planes' cabins while still allowing travellers to use their personal electronic devices. So it's basically, that's it, it sums it up. They're asking people to use their headphones. If you don't use your headphones and you don't comply with the new rules, you could be potentially banned from flying on United in the future. Now, I think you would have to really heavily not comply with the rules in order to be banned, because that seems a bit extreme. But they are offering people headphones if they didn't bring their own, because a lot of people might say, what if I forgot mine at home? They are offering people their own headphones. You know those cheap ones you get on the airplane?
Yeah,
they're awful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't say that you don't have headphones. You can't use that as an excuse. And why are you playing your phone out loud anyway? Nobody else wants to hear it. This happens on trains. It happens on buses. It should actually be banned everywhere. People shouldn't be allowed to take calls on loudspeaker. Like, I don't care about what you're doing this evening. I don't. The whole train doesn't need to know.
Well, actually, we recently were on a train coming back up from Killarney on a Sunday afternoon, and somebody down in the middle of the carriage started playing music loudly off their phone. And it was going on for a while. Eventually, somebody from Irish Rail came down and stopped. And she got a bit thick with them as well. You know, sort of thinking she was entitled to be blasting her music out for everybody else. But it was damn irritating.
I know, and people bring speakers. Like, I actually am just like, who raised you? Sorry, like, how do you think that this is an appropriate way to act in public? To just go around kind of asserting your dominance over everybody else? Because a lot of the time it is, you wait for a member of security to come and approach them, because it can be intimidating to do it yourself. Like, it's, as you saw mentioned there, they didn't react well to being told not to do it.
And this was a middle-aged woman. This wasn't some young one.
Like,
oh yeah, no,
on.
It's not always like, there is this, of course, the stereotype, well, it must be a gang of youths. But no, I've seen insane behaviour on public transport, usually involving the blaring of noise off a phone. And it's often been, you know, an older lady. And, you know, again, nobody wants to get into any kind of confrontation, but it is just incredible. You used the word entitlement earlier on. That's exactly what it is. There's just this very strange social disconnect. And I'm a socially awkward person. And if my phone accidentally like fell off the Bluetooth for a second and played what I was listening to, I'd be like, oh no, and I'd probably like my face would go red. Not these people. Sorry, you say as well, like, it'd have to be a very extreme case for this to happen. I would answer that with one word, America. They'll just do it. And they should do it. Like we need to bring this back, either public shaming or banning for like just destroying the social contract. Just be sound to each other. And by sound, I mean turn down the sound. Thank you.
Okay, let's talk about sound. Of course, maybe we make an exception if people want to play out the Today FM Top 100 countdown to everybody on their bus or on their train or even on their flights. It got underway, the 100 Top 100 countdown of the best Irish songs of all time today. The first 50 have been released. We're continuing on next week with the top 10 being revealed next Friday during the Ray Foley Show next Friday afternoon. So just to let you know some of the highlights from today, Bellex Warner at number 100 with Flame. CMAT's Eurocountry came in at 97. It just shows you when you go through the list just how much good music there is. Galway Girl from Sharon Shannon came in at 91. The Golden Horde came in at 90 from Friends in Time. Riverdance came in at number 87. Dirty Old Town from the Dubliners at number 81. At number 73 was the first entry from U2. Still haven't found what I'm looking for, which I would have thought would have been a lot higher than 73. But I suspect, as I'd said with John Cadell and D Ready previously, and with you, I think, Dave, as well, that I think if you have loads of good songs, if you're a big band, then the choices get spread and you may not end up as high in the charts as you might expect for a band like U2. But let's have a recap of numbers 60 to 51.
3, 2, 1. Counting down Today FM's top 100 greatest Irish songs. 60. This body's over. I'm going home. 59.
Doesn't matter to me.
57.
Wait a minute. Where's me jumper? Where's me jumper? Where's me jumper?
56.
You're too sweet for me. I take my whiskey.
53. 52.
When you begin to smile, you change my style, my Sarah.
51.
Number 51, that is outrageous. Old Town by Phil Lynott should be so far higher up the charts, as should Sarah by Thin Lizzy, which we just heard before it. But Emily, it just struck me that the other ones that we heard, lots of them, you wouldn't even have been alive when they came out. Republic of Ireland football squad from Put Them Under Pressure from 1990. You've Hosier there. We had My Christopher, We'd Westlife, Sultans of Ping FC, up Cork. We had The Script, Kingfisher, and An Emotional Fish. What do you make of that, Emily?
You're right in saying that I wasn't alive when most of them came out, but at the same time, I still recognise the vast majority. So I guess that stands to the fact that they are some of the top songs that have ever come out of Ireland, if I'm still aware of them. I do, however, think When You're Looking Like That and World of Our Own by Westlife should be one and two.
Oh, I mean, they are bangers, I'll give you that. I mean, and in fairness, like, Matt, you're having the right level of outrage, because that's what these lists are designed to do. They're designed to head people
no,
up.
No, they're not designed to elicit outrage, Dave. It was an opportunity for the people of the listeners to Today FM express their love for the 100 best songs, not to create outrage.
Look, I'm outraged because I've tried two different members of staff now. I'm like, tell me what's number one, tell me what's number one. And I'm getting radio silence here, so I'm no privilege.
We'll tell you next Friday.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I'm actually quite surprised at how happy I am to see The Script in there with The Man Who Can't Be Moved, because I think that song perfectly crystallizes them. The very first time I heard that song, I was like, who is this international band? Because they are an international band, and it felt like they arrived fully formed. So I do think, in fairness, with a list like this, you do need to kind of represent not just genre, but like kind of impact on the world and culture. And for me, like, it always goes back to that one Script song. It's like, that's kind of, that was their calling card. That was a huge moment for them as a band. I'm not their biggest fan, but I think to acknowledge that song in this capacity, it makes perfect sense to me.
Aidan says, so many great songs in the bottom 50. I have a bad feeling we're going to get a load of, well, I'm not going to use the word he says, but bad songs in the top 50.
And I think I'm not going to say that any of them will be bad songs either, but I think we do kind of get blinded by recent music because it's just what we hear more often. Like, there's a lot of new music even on the list just from 100 to 50. I mean, like, Niall Horan's in there twice, and like, I'm Niall Horan's biggest fan, and I don't know if I necessarily would have put those songs in there. Like, I think it's just we list what we can think of first, and that's probably why there are so many newer artists in there, and a lot won't make the cut.
I don't think there'll be a Pink Pony Club type number one, though.
Wouldn't that be great? C-Mat, you don't know. She might end up there.
Well, C-Mat Euro Country came in at number 96.
Mm.
Van Morrison's Days Like This came in at 97. Completely different generation.
Yeah, I do think it's a good mix. I have to say, just glancing over what we have so far, I do think it's fairly solid. There are a lot in there that I don't recognise, and to be honest, I actually consider that a good thing because it means that it is widespread across the decades.
That's also what lists should be. They should be discovery. There should be a case of, I haven't heard of half of this. That's a good thing. Like, but people get mad when they haven't heard of half of this. You're like, well, now you've got this incredible thing to go and listen to. But no, we just get mad, like the cat situation. It's like, we just can't have nice things. It drives me crazy. I do wonder what the limitations are, though, in terms of how, like, who will be in here the most? Because I remember there was an infamous British radio station poll a while ago, and there was like 27 Oasis songs in it. And it was just like, okay, come on now, come on.
Right, we better leave it there. Dave Hanratty and Emily Keegan, thank you so much for being with us.
The Last Word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.